I'm privileged to, you know, as a pastor, last Sabbath, I ended the year with the blessing of a baby. And this Sabbath, I start the new year with the blessing of another baby. It's amazing. It's the rhythm of life. And next Sabbath, I'll fly back into Jamaica for the funeral service of two pastors all on the same day who died suddenly. And so it's the rhythm of life, birth and death. And as in ministry, we joke about it sometimes. We say they call us pastor when they are hatched, they call us when they are matched, and they call us when they are dispatched. When they are born, when they are married, and when they die, pastor is there all through their lives. It's a pleasure to be with you in Mid River. Is it Mid River? Yeah, Mid River. Mid River. Mid River. I must confess, I love the landscape of where the church is located. I mean, you guys have the best site ever to plant a church. I really love it. I was in Mid River yesterday. I didn't realize this is where the church was, but I was in Mid River. I was just by Best Buy yesterday at your mall. Am I right? Yes. And was just touring the place. I have connection in St. Louis. I was here for the general conference session just a few months ago, and was here for the last one, and was wondering what is it so special about St. Louis, why you're able to get the GC session in twice, and maybe more than maybe you'll be having it again. Who knows? But we are grateful for the reception and the warmth and the hospitality of the people here in St. Louis. We're just loving it. The only thing I don't love is your weather. So I wish I could carry the Cayman. We're from the Cayman Islands. Wish I could carry the Cayman weather up here. Yeah, 85 degrees Fahrenheit.
It was 72 last week.
It was 72 last week. It dipped a little. But it's just a pleasure to be here. And I've been here so many times and never had the opportunity to come by your church on Sabbath, because Sabbath we're always occupied. But today it's a pleasure to join you here at Mid River. So this is the first Sabbath of the year, and for the next few minutes that the clock on the wall has assigned me, I will invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of St. Mark, and if the guys in the audiovisual can put the text on the screen, that would be helpful if you don't have a Bible with you. St. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 35, and just about five verses will provide the lunch for us today. St. Mark, chapter 4, and verse 5. And I'd like to entitle our subject, The F Factor. The F Factor. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Lord, we have abandoned our secular activities and found our way here at this hallowed spot to worship you as we ought to. And even now as we open your words, we pray and ask for the help of the Holy Ghost to open our minds and open our understanding, and to ask you, Lord, to speak to us all by yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark 4:35. It's a very popular text in the Bible. Most of you may have read it. But I'm going to ask for your permission just to read it again. The text says, on the same day when evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over onto the other side. I'm going to pause there. The same day when evening came, he said to them, let's pass over, let's cross over, let's go over on the other side. By now you would know that the he there is Jesus. Yes. Amen? Amen? Good. And Mark wanted to give us some information. Mark said the same day. Well, the day says Ellen White in the book Desire of Ages, the day was filled with activities for the Lord. He has been teaching all day from morning until evening. By the way, you know if you attend one of Jesus' worship service, you ain't going home after half an hour. You know that? Oh, yeah. Because the folks would stay all day. One day he taught so long until evening came, and the disciples says, hey, Lord, you know, the folks are here all day. We need to send them away. Jesus said, you can't send them away hungry. Give them something to eat. So we don't have anything for them to eat. It was day. They were with Jesus all day. And I noticed also in the book of Acts when Paul was preaching, those people stayed all day in church until night came. In fact, a guy from the church fell off the window. Anybody know his name? Eutychus, yes, they were preaching all day. So it was a full day activity for Christ. And when evening came, he obviously, Ellen White says, he felt exhausted, he felt tired. And he said to the guys, hey guys, let's go over, let's cross over. Right? And I'm gonna point a few things out in the text. He says, and he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. I want you to note a few things. And you're going to talk back to me because, you know, next week the pastor will preach. I ain't doing no preaching today. We're just talking together. Is that all right? Yes. I want you to talk with me. Who said, let's cross over? Jesus. Whose idea to cross over? Jesus. Whose plan was this? Jesus. Keep that in the back of your mind. The idea of crossing over was not the disciples' idea. It was Jesus' idea. So he said, let's cross over. Okay, good. We're going on to the next. Verse 36 says, now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and there were other little ships with him. Okay, so what can we find out of this text? So the text says, they sent away the multitude, the church, right? Service was finished, and they took Jesus with them in the ship. Yes? Hang on. This is important. So he was on the journey with them. Hang on. Let me see if I can talk to these people about. So Christ was in the vessel with them. Amen. Amen. Christ was on the journey with them. They had Jesus with them on their journey. Hang on. Because the science of astronomy tells us that a few days ago, the Earth started another journey around the sun. Yes? Yes, around the sun. And the scientists tell us it will take the Earth one full year to complete that journey. Well, it just finished a journey a few days ago called 2025, and it has started a brand new journey called 2026. And I started to wonder, what does this journey have in store for us? What should we expect on this journey? By the time the Earth completes its revolution around the sun, who among us will die and who will live? Who will divorce and who will marry? What are the challenges that we will face in this journey? We don't know. It's very uncertain. In fact, this morning we woke up with big news to hear that the U.S. Army has captured the president of Venezuela, took him back to the United States to try him. Big news that is rocking the nation. What are some of the challenges that will affect us as Seventh-day Adventists in this journey? What are some of the issues that will affect you in your personal life on this journey? We don't know. And since we don't know, it's a safe thing to ensure that on our journey, we carry Jesus with us. Amen. Amen. Yeah. No, notice what the guy said. They took him in their boat. They took him in their boat. They had him on their journey. And so I'm suggesting to the church that a good, healthy habit to pick up is to ensure that the Lord is with you on your journey. Amen. And here's what's fascinating. So he was in the vessel with them. And I have a question for the church. Here's a question for you. If God is with you on your journey, if God is with you in your vessel, what could possibly go wrong? Stay with the preacher. These guys sail out. This was not a joy ride that they were having. They weren't going out to have fun. They weren't going out to celebrate. No. They were sailing because God says so. Oh, the church is not with the preacher. They were out there at the word of God. They were being obedient to the command of God. Amen. And number two, they had God with them. So when you're obedient to God and walking according to the will of God and obedient and God is with you, what could possibly go wrong in your life? Because you know, we have some members in the church who still can't understand, why am I having challenges in my life when I'm faithful to God? The text says, so they brought Jesus on board with them. Here's what the text. I'm going to verse 37. And the verse 37 says, And there arose a great storm of wind. Storm of wind. Didn't say rain. Yeah, wind. That sounds like an F3 tornado. Storm of wind. A great windstorm. And the text says, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was full. My translation says so that it was already full. The waves beat in the lips. So they're on their way because God says so. They are being complicit with the will of God. Is the church with me? They are being obedient to the word of God. They are on a journey because God says so. And more than that, the Lord was with them in their boat. And the question is, what could possibly go wrong? And the answer to that, everything. Too many Christians labor under a false assumption that if I am okay with God, ain't nothing wrong going to happen to me. That's a very false assumption. No. You know, in Sabbath school, they taught us this little song, with Christ in the vessel. You can smack. You know that song? You all don't know that song. Oh, you don't know that song. She's consulting with her mom. Do you know that song? No? Okay. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. It's a little children's song. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. With Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm as we go sailing. Good. So the Sabbath school department is going to teach you guys that song, all right? It's a song we learned, but I don't know if we understand the song. A lot of people understood the song to mean, if Christ in the vessel, there will be no storm. That's what people walk away with. That's not what the song says. The song says, if Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm, which means that even though Christ in the vessel, there will be storms. There will be storms. There will be storms. If Christ possesses your life, there will be storms. If you're faithful to God, there will be storms. Ask Joseph. Storms. Ask Daniel. Storms. Ask Paul when he changed his life and became a preacher. Storms. Ask all the faithful. Storms. The text says, if we live righteous, we will suffer storms. Storms. So the storm, so the storm, you know, my mind starts to ask a number of questions. I have some questions for Jesus. The storm rose, right? Ellen White in the book, Desire for Ages, says, by now the sun had set its dark, and they're on the sea, and the storm rose, and the wave flowing over, filling up the little boat. And these guys are no strangers to the sea. They are, most of them are all fishermen. So they, when they start to get panicked, you know they're in trouble, right? And I have so many questions I want to ask Jesus. One, and tell me if I'm out of order here. One, I'm assuming, sister, what's your name?
Con.
I'm assuming that Jesus, who knows all things before they happen, would have known that there's a storm out there. stay with the preacher. I'm going somewhere. I said, I'm assuming. When I take a flight, the captain can tell me before he takes off where the turbulences are. The captain can tell me, tomorrow morning I'll be on a flight heading for Charlotte, and the captain can tell me where the bad spots are, where the little weather. Is the church with me?
Amen.
Yeah, because there's a GPS system that gives them in advance notice. I am telling you, Jesus would have known that there's a storm. Amen. So with that knowledge, what would you expect Jesus to do? Would he say, hey guys, you know, we need to go across, but we can't go right now because there's a storm out there. Whoa. Think about that. If he has knowledge, which I think he did, yeah, the fact that he knew that storm was on the path didn't change his mind, because storm is nothing for God.
Amen.
Storm doesn't shut down God's program. Is the church with me? Yeah. Because he has power over the storms. Yeah. So while storm would shut us down and cancel the trip, for him, it's neither here, there, or there. You know what the text says? With the knowledge that storm is on the route, this guy went to sleep. With the foreknowledge, can I talk to the church? With the foreknowledge, and I'm saying for 2026, your God, with the foreknowledge that there are storms awaiting your life, went to sleep. Because storms do not stop God's program. He has the power over storm. So you say, Lord, why didn't you tell us that there's storms? You know, one of the problems I have with God, I have a big problem with God. Big. Huge. So so many members of my church, they have no problem with God. I tell them, that's okay. I have a problem with God. And you want to hear my problem?
Yeah.
Because maybe you have the same problem too. The problem I have with God is that he does not sit us down and tell us what's going to happen before it happens. Ah. I wish he had talked to Job. And says, Job boy, just giving you a little heads up. You're going to pass through some rough moments. Well, hang on there, I'm with you. That wouldn't be nice, wouldn't it? If he gives us a little heads up, a little notice, because that would have helped us when we're going through the wilderness of war. But God does nothing, says nothing, and just leave us there. And that's what put Job's wife in trouble. Because Job could not provide any explanation for what is going on. And a wife knows that Job is a faithful man. Very faithful. Most faithful of all the people on the planet. Have you guys thought about this? This is the most faithful man on the planet. So much so that God boasts of the guy. And this is the guy having crisis in his life. Now you understand when neighbor comes and say, what's the sense worshiping God? If you suffer and I suffer, then you're not better than me. What's the sense worshiping God? In fact, Job's elders from the church came to visit him. Three of them. And for 7 days, they couldn't talk. And when they did talk, nonsense out of their mouth. Because they couldn't make sense of it. And Job says, I can't make sense of it either. I don't understand it. But one thing I know, my Redeemer lives. I can't explain it. Can't rationalize it. But nothing is going to shake my faith in God. Amen. Though he slay me, yet still I'll serve him. I don't need to understand it to trust God. Is the church with me? He locked his faith in Almighty God. And God was impressed with him. Storm. So what's the message? I'm saying to the church this morning that storms may be on the path in 2026 for you. Personal storms in your life. Storms on the job. Storms in the church. Storms may come. And it does not, when it does land on your front step, do not question your relationship with God. No. Because storms tend to affect those of us who are walking with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So the text says, a big storm rose, filling the boat. And let me look at the next verses. Verse 38 says, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. On a pillow. I don't know where this guy get pillow. Have you seen that? He was in the stern, sleeping on a pillow. And they wake him. They woke him from his sleep and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They woke him. And I paused and I said to myself, one, as I said to you earlier, he knew that there was a storm. The only man on the boat knew that there was going to be a storm. Right? The only one. And that didn't disturb him at all. He went to sleep. Oh God, is it possible that we can sleep during our storm? Hang on. This is very important. Does God want us to rest in the midst of our crisis? Does God want us to have peace in the midst of our crisis? Yes. Is the church with me? Yes. Yes. He said, the Bible says he went to sleep. And when they woke him, watch this. When they woke him, he was upset with them. He was upset with them. They woke him and they said, Master, how is it that you could possible be sleeping at a time like this when each moment so threatening is maddening, threatening all that? How could you be sleeping when the church is in crisis? How could you be sleeping in the midst of my divorce? How could you be sleeping? Don't you care about us? And the text says he woke. What's the preacher? The text says he woke. And he ignored them for a moment. He turned his attention to the sea and to the wind. And he spoke directly to the wind. The text in my Bible says, he rebuked the wind. That's a strong word. He rebuked the wind. In other words, wind, you are out of order. Wind, you can't attack the boat when the Son of God is on it. He rebuked the wind. He put the wind in its place. And then he spoke to the sea and says, be still, calm. He spoke to nature, and nature obeyed his will. Is the church with me? Good, good, good. Now, here's what fascinated me. When he calmed the sea and the wind stopped and the waves stopped and the boat settled, he now turned his attention to the church members in the boat. And I want you to, with forensic eyes, examine the question he asked the members of the church. He asked them two questions. And that's in verse 40. He asked them, and that's where our message finished for today. He asked them two questions. Can we put verse 40 up there? And he said unto them, read with me, everybody. Why are you so fearful? And then the next one is, how is it? Come, let's unpack that. Let's unpack that. Everybody with me. After he calmed the sea, spoke to the wind, calmed the sea, the boat is settled, the threat is over. Is the church with the preacher? He now turns to his disciples with a tone of disappointment and a tone of shock. And he says to them, let me put it where you can get it. Guys, I don't get it. Get what? Why are you so fearful? And I would want to argue back with Jesus to say, what do you mean? Are we not supposed to be fearful when our boat is rocking? Are we not supposed to be fearful when our life is... What do you mean? Why are we so fearful? In other words, the fact that Jesus asked them, why are you so fearful? Is because Jesus is saying, you ought not to be fearful. Is the church with the preacher? What do you mean I'm not supposed to be fearful? Jesus said, in the midst of your crisis, you ought not to be fearful. Well, why shouldn't I be fearful? Because I am on board. Oh, man. Because I am on board. Then if you're fearful when I'm on board, and you're fearful when I'm not on board, then what's the difference I am being on board with you? What's the difference does God make in your life when you are as fearful as the people who don't know God? See that? Jesus was disappointed that they were as fearful as the ungodly person out there. One boatload of Christian members who, every day they're with Jesus, but have no faith in him. Ah! Sometimes our church are filled with members who come to church on Sabbath. We're marching to Zion, beautiful. I have no faith in God. Just learn the procedure. Just be part of them. And Jesus was disappointed. How is it under God's earth that you are so fearful, knowing that I am with you? What difference did it make in your life knowing that the Lord is with you? Here's David jumping in the picture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in what? Green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, come with me. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? But thou art with me. That's the message. That is the message. So I don't know what will happen to us in 2026, but whatever the enemy throw at us, the Lord wants you to know you should not be fearful because I am on the journey with you. Amen. I'm in your vessel. It can't go down. Ellen White says it may rock, but it can't turn over. Is the church with me? Yeah, there's going to be a difference. So that's question number one. And then question number two. From the question, you can dissect the questions and extract from it some lessons. Question number two is, how is it that you have no faith? Could you put that text back on the screen? Let's look at the two questions, because that's what you're going to use to carry you through 2026. How is it, come on church, how is it that you have no faith? That's not a rhetorical question. That's an investigative question. In other words, Jesus says, I want answers. I want answers. You've just been with me all day. You saw me heal the sick, make the lame to walk, blind to see. You saw everything. How is it that a little storm hit you and you have no faith? Explain to me. How is it that you're in church for so long? How is it that you hold position in the church? How is it that you have no faith when the winds start to blow and the consequences come? When they lie on you and threaten you, and how is it that you have no faith? How is it that you're panicking in your crisis when you should be sleeping? Explain to me. And when I look a little deeper, sister, I notice what the problem was. I diagnose the problem. They told you I'm a psychologist, clinical psychologist. I diagnose the problem. You see the problem there? So let me help you find the problem. He said unto them, why are you so? Which means that they had a lot of. Now the church is with me. Then he says, how is it that you have no? So they had a lot of, but no. Because they have allowed fear to displace faith. Whoa. Is the church with the preacher? They have allowed fear to override faith. So now they are filled with, this is a whole boatload of Christian followers of Christ. They have a boatload of fear and no faith. And it brought disappointment to Jesus. How is it, guys? We're working together every day. We're out together. How is it? And hear me when I say, if you have more fear than you have faith, you have a crisis. That's the definition of a crisis. And I took a little time, and I said, I drilled back, and I said to myself, hang on. It became clear to me. Fear and faith are twins. They come from the same placenta. Come, I hope you get it. Fear and faith are twins. They come from the same womb. So, what do you mean, preacher? Well, let me help you. What is fear? Fear is a belief that something is going to go wrong. Am I right? Even before it, now you're preaching with me. Even before it happens, you exercise this belief that something is going to go wrong. Even before it happens. Well, what's faith? Faith is the very same thing. It is belief that something is going to go right. Am I coming to the church? Faith is a belief that everything will be all right. That is going to, even before it happens, I have faith that it will go right. So both of them are belief, come from the same womb. Is that, I can choose to believe that it's going to go wrong, or I can choose to believe that it's going to go right. Is the church with me? Yeah. But when we have so much fear, it means that we choose the wrong belief over the right belief. Fear and faith is like light and darkness. a room full of darkness, darkness dispels by the light. Once the light comes in, darkness goes. Is the church with me? If you have fear and you bring faith in, faith dispenses fear. Is the church with me? And if you put more fear, if you have faith and you put more fear in, the more darkness you put in a room with a little light, is the brighter that light becomes. Because darkness can never extinguish light. Is the church with the preacher? Yeah. A light becomes brighter the darker the place is. If you have faith in, that's why Jesus is right, you know. If you have a faith like a mustard seed, no matter how much fear people tell you about, no, that faith shines brighter. So, what's the message then? For 2026 on this journey, we don't know what crisis is going to brew in your life. We don't know what storm's going to brew in your life, whatever it is. But just remember the two questions Jesus asked the disciples. How is it you have no fear? Oh, no faith. And why are you so fearful? You must make a commitment. Says, God, I have made a commitment. I will not allow fear to dictate my life. Amen. You know, after 9/11, I'm closing now. After 9/11, we invited a preacher to the Cayman Islands. And he was for a camp meeting. Jews, Pastor Jews, some of you know. Pastor Jews from New York. Abram Jules. And don't ask me what the other sermons were about or what he said. I don't remember anything. But there's one statement that he made. It was just after 9/11. Everybody was fearful to take a flight. You remember those days? Ain't nobody want to fly? Because fear have overridden faith. And he said one statement that stuck in my brain, that never left me. He says, fear does not stop you from dying. It only prevents you from living. Whoa. Fear. People didn't want to fly. No, we're not going to fly. We're going to drive. Fear doesn't stop you from dying. If you're going to die today, you're going to die today. Anyhow. But what it does, it stops you from living. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. Take back your life for 2026. Put your trust in God. If the Lord is with us, this ship can't go down. In the church with me? Storms may come, earthquakes may come, but we will survive. For the Lord is with us. If that's your commitment, stand with me. I don't know how many of you know this little old song my grandma taught me. I must have the Savior with me. You know that song? I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel His presence near me and His arms around me thrown. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let Him lead me where He will. I will go without a murmur, and His footstep follows still. Father in heaven, we have just begun a new journey around the sun. We do not know what the crisis this journey will pack on us. We do not know what lies ahead of us this year. And so, Lord, we're doing one thing today. We stand in this church on this, the first Sabbath, to invite You in our boat, to invite you in our life, in our relationship, in our homes, in our job. Wherever the storm breaks, God, we want you to be there. And we promise you, Jesus, that we will not fear. We will not allow fear to override faith. We promise you, Lord, no matter how strong the winds blow, no matter how severe the crisis, we promise you, we will have faith and trust in you that you will see us through. So, Lord, hear our prayer. And for this congregation, I ask one thing. Increase our faith. Top it up, Lord. Increase our faith to the maximum as we prepare for this journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.